I wonder how many of you have ever come across sheep. Have you ever touched them? Have you ever felt them? You may see a lot of sheep in the fields, and you may see a lot of sheep on television, but have you actually touched a sheep and felt them? There's a story of a city dweller, a city expert, and he decided to go and drive from the city to the country to look at some sheep. And he packed. He is a high-powered ID consultant, and he dressed in his Armani suit, his special shoes, his Ray-Ban sunglasses, his Tag Heuer wristwatch, his Pierre Cardin tie, and he drove in his Porsche car. Alright. And he drove to the country, and then he saw some shepherd and some sheep. So he stopped his car and he talked to the shepherd, and he said, you got a bunch of sheep. And the shepherd said, herd. You see, I know you heard me, but I'm telling you, you have got a bunch of sheep. And the shepherd said, sheep herd. Again he said, you have a bunch of sheep. I have a herd of sheep. Now this IT consultant then said to the shepherd, if I can tell you how many sheep you have in the field, will you give me one of your sheep? And the shepherd looked at him, alright, that's the deal. So he parked his car, his laptop, he entered a NASA Webster account, he spans the grass with GPS, he opens a database, he had a 60 Excel table filled with logarithms and pivot tables, and he printed out a 150-page report, and he said, you have exactly 923 sheep. And the shepherd looked at him and said, you are correct. You are right. Now you may have my animal. And so this IT consultant took the animal and was about to go away when the shepherd said, if I guess your occupation, will you give back my animal? And he said, all right. He said, you came without invitation. You set your own rules. You came in your Porsche car, your wonderful clothing. You are an IV consultant. And the man said, you're correct. May I have my animal back? Please give me back my dog. You see, he couldn't distinguish a dog and a sheep. Today we are having a text on I am the Good Shepherd. The sheep actually are not very easy people to deal with. I wonder whether you have ever come across sheep. But they tend to wander around and tend to go panic very easily. When there is a shock or something, the sheep will all run away. Secondly, when a sheep lies on its back, it stays on its back. It doesn't know how to right itself. That's why when the man went out to look for the 99 sheep, left the 99 sheep to look for the 100 sheep, he was looking for the sheep that lay on its back, because the sheep is unable to right itself. And if it stays there, that way, it will die of hypothermia, or some animal will take it. And so it is that the good shepherd knows his sheep. When he is in the Old Testament, David was a shepherd, and he became a king. He killed Goliath. King Saul also was very kind to David because he was a shepherd. Jesus said, "I am come that you may have life, and have life in abundance," because the good shepherd looks after his sheep. In Psalm 23, we know that the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me down to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Finally, I would like to look at a sheep pen. In a sheep pen, there's an opening, and in the evening, the shepherd will lie at the entrance of the sheep pen so that he knows who is going in and who is coming out. You see, the shepherd regulates the people in the sheep pen. And Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." This is our text for today. I am the good shepherd. From verse 11 to verse 18. Let me read again. Verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." This is the fourth I am of Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the bread of life. I'm the light of the world," which I spoke to you a few weeks ago. And four times he says, "The good shepherd lay down his life for the sheep." He emphasizes that he laid down his life so that he may take it up again. When Jesus set his sight on the ground, he said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." He died in our place. We should have faced God's righteousness, eternal judgment, because of all our sins. But Jesus intervened with his own blood to pay the debt on our behalf. Jesus Christ is the only one who has ever lived who did not have any sin of his own. He alone was qualified to die for us. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." God imputed our sins to Christ and Christ's righteousness to us. Jesus said, "I lay down my sheep, my life for the sheep." But Paul expressed this in other terms. He says, "Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." The sheep are those whom Father gave to the Son, whose names are written in the book of life, Lamb's book of life. "All that the Father gave me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will not certainly cast out. This is the will of him who sent me, that all who has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day." You see, Jesus tells the Pharisees, "You do not believe me because you are not of my sheep. You do not know me because you do not believe me." The determining factor is whether they were Jesus' sheep, whom the Father gave to the Son. It was this that Jesus came to die to redeem. The truth is often misunderstood and attacked because it is alleged that Jesus died only for his sheep. But we can't offer the gospel to all people. That is a false allegation. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. See, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You have everlasting life when you accept Jesus Christ. You do not have to die to have eternal life. You can have it when you accept him as your personal Savior. Jesus is the Savior of the world. The almost final verse of the Bible appeals. The Spirit of God, the bride, says, "Come," and let one who hears come, and let the one who is thirsty, let the one who takes the water without cost. So this truth is no way limits the invitation to all people. For God pleads that all should be saved. For we are all made in the image of God. Not that we are all the same, but we acquire the attributes of God. In verse 12 and 13, we read, "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own life the sheep are not, sees the world coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and cannot for the sheep." What this means is that he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep. And the sheep, the wolf, snatches them and scattereth them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. Jesus is contrasting this of his own sacrificial love and care for his sheep with the false shepherds of the people in Israel. He cares for the hired hands who only care for themselves. The difference is that Jesus owns the sheep because he bought them with his blood. And when the predators come, when the wolf comes, the hired hand are more concerned about themselves, of saving their own lives. They are not concerned about saving the sheep. It is no great loss to them if the sheep perish, as long as they escape with their lives. The contrast means that if you follow the Good Shepherd, you can be assured that he cares for you more than his own life. If you are one of his sheep, he promises, "I give eternal life to them, that they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Jesus declares, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." "As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my sheep, my life for the sheep." We see the same truth when Jesus said he calls his own sheep by name, and they follow him because they know his voice. Each night, as the sheep enter the fold, the shepherd would examine each one to see whether there are any injuries or problems that need his care. He knows every sheep in an intimate, personal way. And the shepherd, sheep know the shepherd as well, and they will not follow the voice of a stranger. In verse 16, Jesus said, "I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd." This is very interesting. "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and shall be a one fold and one shepherd." What does this mean? This is a very remarkable verse which spans an entire message. For here Jesus was referring to the Gentiles. We are the Gentiles who at that time were outside the fold of Israel. But he states the necessity, the must, to bring them, and the certainty that they must hear his voice and become one flock with one shepherd. You see, this is a missionary mandate that Jesus gives to each one of us, the great commission to take the gospel to all nations of the world. And Jesus promises in this mission that they who hear my voice, they will become one flock with one shepherd. This ties in with verse 11 when we read, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus Christ did not die in vain. He died to secure the salvation of his sheep, you and me. And he strongly asserts that he will succeed. There is no uncertainty in his voice. "I hope that these other sheep will listen to my voice because I really want them in my flock." Yet no, it is certain. The Father gave them to Jesus. He died for them. Both the chosen sheep and the other sheep, the Gentiles, and they will hear him and they will come into his flock. Jesus shows us that there is true unity in the church. We are one body in which there is no distinction between races. Gentiles are the fellow heirs with the Jews of the promise in Christ through the gospel. The glory of the church is when those from diverse racial and social backgrounds join together in harmony to praise God for his great salvation. That's part of the glory of the church. Remember, in Jesus' day, the Jews hated the Gentiles, with whom they viewed as unclean dogs. They couldn't conceive of them as equal standing before God. But Peter had to overcome this racial prejudice and bring the gospel to the Gentiles, to Cornelius, the visitor who came to visit him. Remember the story in Acts 11. Peter at first did not want to partake of a mission to the Gentiles, and God laid down a cloth as he slept of the many, many varied animals. Let me read together a bit of Acts 11. Yes. "And there he was there And there were many sheep, and he laid down his life for them. The whole cloth came down, and God said, eat of this, for they are all my creation. Yes, the carpet that came down contained not only Jewish Christians, but Gentiles. And he came down and witnessed to Cornelius, the Roman official who came to Peter. God gives glory when we become one flock in harmony in Jesus Christ. For this, we should labor to make this church as racially diverse as possible. One other truth in verse 16 is that Christian life is not to be lived in isolation, but in harmony with other believers. Sheep are not independent creatures. They thrive. They must be part of a flock under the protection of a shepherd. Sheep that stray from the flock are eaten up by the wolves. So even though you may not like some of the sheep that the Lord has brought into the fold, you need to work in harmony, in great relationships with one another. Because the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself, as you must in fact love yourself. If you just come to church and leave without getting to know well some of your fellow believers, you are missing one of the main sources for growth and encouragement in your Christian life. Thus the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. He knows them personally, and they know him. He brings all of his sheep from different races, from different sexual, different social background, into one flock unto his care. And in verse 17, 18 we read, for as much then, Let me go back on John 10, okay. John 10, 17, 18. Because this is very important here. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and have power to take it up again. These commandments have I received of my Father. You see, for this reason, God loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. The main point is Jesus is making that his death was not a tragic accident. He was not just dying on the cross. For he truly, in this city, they were gathered together, your holy servant, Jesus, who you anointed. Yes, the sinners who crucified Jesus were responsible for their sin, but at the same time, God used them to fulfill his purpose to save Jesus' sheep from their sins. You see, in this heart of the message, we find the essence of our Savior's love, encapsulated in his willingness to die, to lay down his life for his sheep. He is no ordinary shepherd who will flee at the sign of danger. This is the good shepherd who values his sheep, each one of us, so much that he would give his own life to protect them. This act of laying down his life is a sacrificial love, an agape. It's a testament to the depth of his love for you and for me. This is the ultimate act of service, the ultimate expression of love, the agape, the sacrificial love. In the face of such love, we are called to respond. We are called to recognize the value of the sacrifice Jesus made for each one of us. We are called to appreciate the depth of his love, of his sacrifice. The shepherd's sacrifice is not just about laying down his life. It's also about the way he lived his life. Jesus Christ lived a life of sacrifice, always putting the needs of his sheep before his own. He cared for them, he guided them, he protected them, he loved them. His life was a living sacrifice, a constant offering of love and service. This is something we need to follow. We are called to live our lives as a living sacrifice, always ready to serve others, ready to put the needs of others before our own. We are called to love as we have been loved, to serve as we have been served. For this is the way of the Good Shepherd, the way of love and service. The shepherd's sacrifice is not about his death or even about his life. It's about his resurrection. He laid down his life. He took it up again. He died, but he also rose again. He has died. He is crucified. He is alive. He rose again. And he will return one day. You see, his sacrifice was not the end, but it was the beginning. It was not a defeat, but a victory. It is not a loss, but a gain. We are called to live in the light of the resurrection. We are called to live in the light of the resurrection, to live the life of victory, to live a new life. We are called to see that every sacrifice is a victory. Again, every death is a birth. Let us not forget the context of the shepherd's sacrifice, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. He laid down his life for the sheep. He laid down the life for obedient sheep. He laid down his life for wayward sheep, sheep that were stubborn and disobedient. He loved them all because he is love. He served them not because they deserve it, but because he came to save, a salvation to all who believe in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There was an incident in a church function, and there was a very famous actor, and he was invited to recite Psalm 23. I'm sure you all know Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so this very famous actor was invited to recite Psalm 23. And there was silence, and he repeated Psalm 23 with such aplomb. When he ended, there were some who clapped hands, for they were so touched. And then the famous actors turned to the pastor and said, "Now, will you say the Lord's Prayer, Psalm 23? And the pastor bowed his head, and he repeated Psalm 23. There was silence. You could almost hear a pin drop. And when the pastor had finished Psalm 23, there were some in the congregation who wiped tears from their eyes. And the actor said, "You see, I know Psalm 23, but your pastor knows the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? Do you know him intimately as your personal savior? Come to him. Come to him and strengthen your faith in him. Come to him that you may have new life."